Welcome to Basic Gospel. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now with the Basic Gospel. Keep listening. You'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number. Again, 1-800-677-9377 for Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Does the teaching of total forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future, lead a person to live a sinful, godless life?
No.
Good answer. That's the question on the table. Whenever we talk about total forgiveness of sins, whenever anybody talks about total forgiveness of sins, the arms raise, and are you saying that you can just go out and do anything you want? Well, that's not a good understanding of forgiveness of sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, the writer of Hebrews wrote that this: how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? The blood of Christ was poured out as a sacrifice in the heavenly temple. It wasn't poured out in a temple made by hands. He went into the eternal presence of God, and he offered his blood once and for all. And that blood has been given back to us in life, and that blood cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. So the Old Testament sacrifices cleanse people externally. It made them clean on the outside. It didn't touch their hearts. The blood of Jesus touches our hearts. It changes us on the inside so that we can serve the living God. So if you have genuinely received the forgiveness of sins, and let me just say this, if you've genuinely received Jesus and have gone from death to life, then the blood of Jesus has cleansed your conscience once and for all, so that you can serve the living God. And in that state, sure, you're going to sin here and there along the way, but you're not going to go back to that old lifestyle.
Right.
You've been set free from that old lifestyle to a point that you don't want to go back. Why? Because of God's Spirit working inside of you. So we can boldly proclaim to those who are in Christ that your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. It's an eternal forgiveness. Rest in that. Rejoice in that. And then allow God's Spirit to teach you to say no to sin and yes to godliness as you live in this present life.
Yeah. Forgiveness, it's a big subject, friends, and we want you to talk about it with us. 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about it, why, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. We await your calls right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Teaneck, New Jersey, and talk with Carolyn, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
You're doing well, thanks.
Good, and God bless you and your ministry.
Well, thank you, and it's so nice to hear from you. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding a religion or a church denomination. I don't even know what they call it. I think they call themselves non-denominational. And it's the name of the church is called World Mission Society Church of God. I had never heard of them before. However, a co-worker of mine is a member, and recently she offered me an extended invitation to me to go to her church. Now, I am a believer, and I live my religion, and I live for Christ. And I've also invited her to come out to visit with me and my fellowship. I belong to a Pentecostal Holiness Church. So at any rate, when I told her, you know, I would, you know, make a decision to come, I wasn't able to go at the time. And so in the meantime, I looked up who they were and what they were about. And it was just startling to me what they believe in.
Well, it is startling.
Yes.
Richard has actually done a little bit of research on that, Carolyn. And, you know, there's some core beliefs that are just way out there and totally negate the teaching of the Word of God.
Exactly.
For example, the second coming of Christ. What do they say about that?
That Jesus already came back to a particular person in 1948. Well, sorry, that's not what the Bible teaches.
And so this leader
the leader claims to be Christ
in his
incarnate
second coming.
In his second coming. And, you know, they believe that the only way to get salvation is to be baptized in water. You know, three things happen. Your name is written in the book of life, and you get the Holy Spirit, and there's something else that happens. But there's that, and then they put people under the law that the seventh day is the Sabbath. They describe themselves as the only true church. Well, any church that says that, I would stay away from.
Especially one that started in 1964.
Yeah.
What does that say about all the churches in between the time of Christ until then? So,
another far-fetched belief that they have is that his wife is the Heavenly Mother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they believe that the Heavenly Mother is actually what... I don't understand all of this, but they claim that the Heavenly Mother, which you can find that phrase in the Bible, that the Jerusalem that is above is our mother, and that was Jesus incarnate the first time, and now they've got this, you know, this new guy that was Jesus incarnate the second time, and they've got this temple, and the temple is where the mother dwells, and apparently they think that it's this guy's wife. And so I would just avoid it like the plague, actually. There is nothing truthful about this belief system.
And I know I'm not going to go at this point. I just want to be able to minister to her the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, you know, wait on the Holy Spirit to lead me for the correct time.
Well, I think the best way to do that, Carolyn, is to focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ as revealed in the Bible, because they have some strange beliefs about Jesus and about his second coming and who that is. They believe it's their leader, the guy who founded this church, and that's just not true. So I would try to focus everything on the person and work of Jesus and pray that God's Spirit would open this person's mind to see the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Yes, and I totally agree. And I'm just, like I said, I'm going to be led of the Lord to do it. And I did tell her I did want to speak to her about it, and we could have a discussion. And I just, because she's only been a part of this ministry or whatever you want to call it for a year.
Yes.
So she's been indoctrinated, and she doesn't know probably a lot of the questions that I would even ask her.
Well, that's a scary thing for your friend, and I hope God will use you in a supernatural way to help her get away from that, so she can experience truth in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, Carolyn, thanks for your heart, and love the fact that you are thinking with discernment. That's a gift of God's Spirit. So praise Him for that.
And I do, and I thank you so much. God bless.
You're welcome, Carolyn. Thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. Okay.
Well, for all of our listeners, Love Is available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. And right now, if you'd like to have a copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. That's basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. For your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to the Bronx and talk to Nasir. Is that correct?
Yes, Nasir.
Yeah, nice.
Yes, my question also in the talk is when we speaking language or words of our mouth. So every idle word we speak of our mouth, we are confident. What do you mean by that?
Good question. Talks about being judged by the words that we say. I think it ties back to Romans chapter 10, where Paul talks about the fact if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be saved. We can only say that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only say Jesus Christ is Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed Jesus to us, and our hearts haven't responded in faith, then our words are going to say something different than that. And it's going to reflect a heart that is lost, a heart that is still in unbelief, and a person that is still dead in sin. So I think that's what he's talking about as far as judging us based on the words that we say. If we say with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's because we're saved. If we don't say that, it's because we're not saved. It's just a very simple thing.
Yeah. And my next question is, that every word that comes out your mouth, not your words in mind defiles you in your mouth, but comes out your mouth defiles you. That's true?
It's what comes out of the heart. That's exactly right. You know, the Pharisees were so in tune with external cleanliness, and they lived to portray themselves or to present themselves as clean on the outside. They prayed at corners so people could see them. They were very open with the gifts that they gave. Look what I did. Look what I did. Just to show kind of this hypocrisy that they were clean on the outside. But Jesus came along and said, listen, you may be clean on the outside, but take a look on the inside. Look at your heart. There, that's where sin originates, right there. And so what you put in your mouth, that doesn't defile you. It's what proceeds from the heart. And that's what Jesus Christ came to cleanse through his blood. That's what we were talking about earlier. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a good news. And you said, speak word that justifies you, not the word that condemns you. Out your mouth.
And the word that justifies is Jesus Christ is Lord.
No, that's right. I asked a question. I'm a Muslim. I became saved in 1991.
You were saved in 1991?
Yeah, I was a Muslim. My father was a Muslim. I come from my Muslim generation, and my family was Muslims and all of that.
Well, that,
I accept Christ.
Yeah, isn't that a great thing? You know, we think that we're all different. You know, you come from this religion, and this person comes from that religion, and we all think we have different needs. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus Christ is a Savior, that he saves us through his death, his burial, his resurrection, penetrates our thinking, penetrates our old way of life, enters into our hearts and produces faith, and we respond and we're made alive. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's how powerful this good news is. That's how wonderful
amen.
This good news is. And what a great testimony, Nasir, that your heart responded to that good news of Jesus when you heard it and your eyes were open to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God bless you, my friend.
Yes,
thanks
indeed.
For your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. Let's go to Milford, Mass, and talk with Brian, listening to us on our great affiliate there, WVNE. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hold on. I'm deep in love with somebody. I just say to the girls, it's not rude to say that you guys are pretty, but I already got somebody, is it?
Now say that again, that you're in a relationship?
Yeah, I work with a lot of pretty girls, but they constantly like look at me and touch me. I'm like, I'm already taken, you know?
Well, I think you make that point abundantly clear, that you're already taken. You know, Brian, you know, we live in a world where, you know, temptation knocks on our door all the time. And sometimes it knocks in unsuspecting places. You know, if you have a job, you feel like you should just go to the workplace and be able to perform your job to the best of your ability and work with fellow workers, and everybody's kind of on the same page. But that's not always the case. There's temptations that are there. And that's where you have to realize that you are in Christ. You may be taken. You may be in a relationship with another female. But in reality, you're in relationship with Christ Jesus. You are his, and he is yours. And it's that relationship that enables you to say no to those temptations and to continue living by faith in Him, you know, in that particular situation. So I think you just need to recognize that temptations are there. Protect yourself, put boundaries up, and let the Lord lead you in that situation.
Right. Thanks.
You're welcome, Brian. Hey, thanks for your call. Let's go to Joe in Pittsburgh, listening to us on WWNL. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Welcome, Joe. Nice to hear from you.
And how are you today, Bob?
Doing well. How can we help you today?
Well, interesting enough, you just explained some of that. I was going to ask you about walking with the Lord. Bob is, you know, and I wanted to hear your opinion. I think that grace really emanates because of God's love. God is love. You know, it's, for instance, like with my wife, you know, in the last 57 years, many a time during the course of my younger life, you know, I was kept, you know, by different things, women and money and so forth. But, you know, it always, it was easy for me to say no because my love for the health of my wife was awesome.
Well, Joe, let me jump in there. You're breaking up a little bit, so it's hard to really get everything you're saying, but I think I'm getting the gist of it, that the grace emanates from love, and I think that's a true thing. God is love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We see that love poured out on us in the fact that we've been made alive together with Christ, and Paul equates that with grace. By grace we have been saved. So it was the love of God that compelled Him to extend grace to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I think the same is true in our relationships one to another. As we grow in our understanding of the love of God, our minds are strengthened by God's Spirit so that we can truly understand the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, and to know this love and experience this love, then that enables us to respond to one another with a graceful attitude. So I think you're exactly right there. The grace emanates from love. Jesus Christ, God the Father, they're the source of love, and that love compelled them to act gracefully toward us.
Yeah, and when you realize that grace is not a what. Grace is a who. Grace is God Himself putting Himself in us by the Holy Spirit. That changes everything. That's when you can really see this connection between love and grace. Because if we didn't have grace, there would be no hope for us. But because we have grace, then Jesus can guarantee that He will finish the work He started. He can guarantee that it's Himself working out our salvation in us, and boy, that's overwhelming truth.
Because He's the one that's going to
complete
the work.
He's the one who's going to do it.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, thanks for a great question today. Let's go to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm calling regarding the passage from Hebrews that you opened up with, where it discusses how the blood of Jesus cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death. And it's been my experience that many people, when they hear that term, acts that lead to death, they associate that with sins, and that there's an alternate rendering that translates acts as useless rituals.
I love that, and I'm glad you I'm glad you mentioned it, because we all sin. We know sin deserves to be punished. So with that reality, we have to ask ourselves, well, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do to erase that black mark from beside our name and to avoid the punishment that we justly deserve? And so we come up with all kinds of rituals. I was reading a book about the Catholic Church and church history, and there was a time during the Crusades where Pope Urban II, I think was the guy's name, he really leveraged those rituals to bring in, you know, bukus of money for the Catholic Church. So if you sinned, you had to confess that sin to the priest. The priest had to say that that sin is forgiven, but then he would list out some works of penance that they had to do to show that the forgiveness was real. And part of that penance was paying money to the Catholic Church back in those days. So those rituals didn't bring about forgiveness. That act of confessing to the priest didn't bring about forgiveness. Those were useless as far as forgiveness was concerned. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But when we sin, and we know those sins deserve punishment, we come up with all kinds of things. But when we receive Christ and that blood cleanses us, we rest from all of that stuff. We give all of that stuff up, knowing that only the blood of Jesus could take away our sin once and for all. So, William, great catch on that as far as the secondary translation.
Right, and if I could, the point is that it cleanses your consciences from engaging in those useless rituals, which just indicates that you don't really believe that all your sins have been forgiven.
Correct.
It ties into Hebrews 10, where it describes that as treating as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified you.
Yeah.
You don't really believe that the shed blood of Christ Jesus has forgiven all of your sins if you're seeking forgiveness through those rituals.
Yeah, it's exactly what the writer of Hebrews said about the blood of bulls and goats. It right. says they never can, by those same sacrifices year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered?
Exactly.
Yeah, so they knew those sacrifices weren't sufficient. And we know our futile attempts to gain forgiveness aren't sufficient. That's why we repeat them over and over. But when we come to Christ and we recognize that His blood was sufficient, that God the Father was satisfied, that our sins have been taken away once and for all, we rest. And boy, is that a great feeling.
And that's what enables you to serve the living God. You can't serve God as long as you're still dealing with the issue of sin and forgiveness.
Because you're serving yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Well, William, right, thanks for the great question. We sure appreciate it. Speaking of this, we've talked a lot about Hebrews today. We're going to talk a lot about Hebrews tomorrow and the next day. We have put together two wonderful broadcasts that really take an in-depth look at the New Covenant. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about forgiveness, we really can't talk about forgiveness apart from talking about the New Covenant. That's the container forgiveness is held in. And so we're going to take an in-depth look the next 2 days at this New Covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through His death on the cross.
And as we get underway with those studies, of course, Bob, you very beautifully lay out the premise of the New Covenant, then get into the nuts and bolts of the study, how it impacts our lives every day. So I think it's going to be a wonderful study for 2 days right here on Basic Gospel. And friends, I hope you'll join us for that. But as we close today's broadcast, we do so with a reminder that Basic Gospel depends on you, our listeners, to be able to remain on the air daily with the truth of God's Word. And to express our thanks for your generous gift at this time, we'll send you a copy of Bob's book, Love Is. You know, God wants you to know that He loves you and that you can rely on His love. And then when you abide in His love, you'll see that God's love never, ever fails. It's all there in Love Is by Bob Christopher, yours today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To complete your gift and request your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Love Is by Bob Christopher. If you use social media, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And again, please join us tomorrow for an in-depth look at the New Covenant with Bob Christopher here on Basic Gospel. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us for that special edition tomorrow at the same time. Bye-bye.